Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you have tapped into this episode because you're like, hey, that looks like a really cool title, The Orgasm Gap, and Why Women Still Aren't Finishing. We're talking about this in the year 2025, in case you're wondering. And if you are wondering anything else about the show, like how long has it been on for? What's been going on? I'm brand new to this. As of next week, it will be my 11th anniversary of doing this show. Several hundred episodes in and many, many different topics. And today we're talking about the orgasm gap. Why are we talking about that? Haven't we just kind of like figured out that everybody's birthright is to be orgasmic and have pleasure? I don't think we have. I don't think we have, guys, because there's still an orgasm gap. I could still say that talking to many women in relationships and not even ones that have never in their lives experienced an orgasm well into their 40s, 50s, 60s, even their 70s. So why is that? And why does that seem to be okay? And why do we brush it off as whatever? It's no big deal. She's probably just frigid. That's not the case, guys. So we're going to talk about some of the gap, why that gap exists, and why should we even care? Like, what is the point of having pleasure? Now, if you've never listened to this show, you might really wonder why and what the point of having pleasure is. But if you have listened to even a few episodes, you'll understand how integral pleasure is to your healing, to your mental health, to your life in general, even your spiritual health. Because when you are in a state of joy and bliss and pleasure, and you have those happy hormones rocking in your body, you're able to connect with others, you're able to connect with yourself, you're able to connect with, if it is a spiritual thing, you're able to connect in general with God of your understanding. So we need to look at this as like a much bigger topic, right? So when we're talking about the orgasm gap for women, we're also talking about a gap in a lot of things. We're talking about the gap in the ability to have conversation about what pleasure is. We're going to have conversation about how we can change that, what's kind of needed. Where does this research even come in? Like, is there evidence that women have an orgasm gap? There actually is evidence of that. So we will talk about all of that. The reason I talk about these things is because I am not only a huge advocate for pleasure, I'm a huge advocate for that you don't have to get stuck in your story, in your life story, where if you've had trauma or anything, especially sexual trauma, that you don't have to be victim of that for your whole life. I talk about that because it's part of my own story. And as part of my own story, which I've told several times on this show, in this podcast, I found that I needed to find ways to empower myself, to be able to move forward, to be able to feel confident and comfortable in my body, than to even be having conversations like this through, you know, these over 400 platforms that this show goes out to. I'm talking to people who I've never seen all the time about things that are incredibly personal and vulnerable. And I do that so that you guys can have information and not feel alone. And I do that so that you can also, whether you choose to work with me, you can choose to know that there are experts out in the world that can help you with this. So whether it's that you choose to work with me or you choose to work with other people who are either sexologists, sex therapists, sex and intimacy coaches, which is what I am, then, you know, you're going to know that there are resources. I'm also a holistic health practitioner and have been for 28 years. Yep. So I'm 50 and I've been at the holistic health practitioner work. Oh, actually, that's wrong. It's more than that. It's like 31. Anyway, I started when I was about 19 with the very first course that I got certified in. And then I don't really do that work so much anymore, so I don't think about it so often. But the stuff that I started doing when I was 22, I still do. And I've been educating myself ever since, constantly educating myself. If you're watching video and you're looking at the background, you're like, well, where's all your certificates? Honestly, if I put them up, it would look weird. So I don't put them up. It would look kind of bizarre. I probably have, I don't know, 20, 30, 40. I don't even actually know. I don't count. I have like a binder. So, like, I don't bother. So, when I talk about these things, I talk about these things from personal experience, but I also talk about them from a place of education where I've studied, learned, and researched. So if this is something that interests you and you want to know why maybe you're not having an orgasm and why that has been and why it's been so acceptable for so long, this is an episode for you. And we're going to talk about what is the orgasm gap, first of all. Like, it's an interesting term, right? So the orgasm gap refers to the fact that in heterosexual women, 65% of heterosexual women have orgasms compared to 95% of men who are in partnered when they're having partnered sex. These are heterosexual relationships, guys, because most sex research is dedicated to heterosexual relationships. Those dynamics do change in all the other variations of relationships and sexual relations. So in we don't have stats on it yet, which is sad to say because sex research has been going on since the 19, well, there's been sex research prior to the 1950s, but it was more like the work of Freud just stating certain things about people's development, but not really studying the how bodies interact, the way that Masters and Johnson studied bodies and measured things and had a lot of that, although some of their information was also falsified later in the 70s, but that's a whole other story. So when we look at stats and studies, I think as much as we can bring out those numbers, we also have to know that those numbers are probably not totally accurate, right? So we're looking at a subset of the of culture where people are willing to actually go in and be part of these studies. You're not getting your average person just going in there. You're going in with the person who's willing to actually get help. And so if we look at it that way, then what about the people who just ignore it and aren't willing to get help? And there's people who come to me who will say that they have this issue, but they also don't want to work on that necessarily because they're coming to me as a holistic health practitioner, and they just brush that aside. But oftentimes I can help them understand how integral their sexuality is to their health and their sexual pleasure, whether they're, actively seeking that or just acknowledging that they are a sexual being is important too. So, why I say that is because these stats are based on people who are willing to go into the research, right? So if we looked at the real numbers, the gap is probably quite a lot bigger. And most and or is it like, do are men also falsifying the statistics on this? Are they is this something that they're claiming, but maybe isn't it it's not happening because they feel like they can't tell the truth that maybe they're also inorgasmic? That's possible. There tends to be more of a it tends to be more common that men are having orgasms, whether they're in heterosexual, bisexual, gay relationships, the whole spectrum of sexuality. Men tend to have more orgasms. Though if I were to talk to all my lesbian friends, they would say that definitely their lesbian sex is far more pleasurable than anything they ever had if they ever were with men. So it kind of helps to know the body parts, right? Like, so I always thought like it would be naturally more pleasuring if you were with somebody who understands the mechanics of the body. And if you're familiar with that, then the chances are you're going to have more pleasure. You understand some of the basic mechanics. Which we can work on basic mechanics, but then one of the key things is no matter what relationship you're in, no matter whether you have you're in a heterosexual relationship or you're, a lesbian, or if you're in a bisexual relationship, if you're in a polyamorous polycule, it doesn't really matter what the configuration of your relationship is. What matters is the communication. That's key, right? So we really need to look at what are women not asking for when it comes to the orgasm gap? What are they not willing to say? What are they not willing to look at or acknowledge or any of that? And where does that come from? So if we know that women aren't having orgasms as much as men, why is that? Are our bodies just that much more difficult? They're really not. Does it require a little bit of a different way to get stimulated? Not always. What it requires is information about the particular body that you're playing with, because every body is different. Yes, we have similar mechanics of structures that, you can look at and go, okay, these things work in a certain way. They do, and there's variations. So not everybody is going to be turned on in the same way. You can look at that in ways where, say, for example, some people really don't like their feet being touched, but they might prefer their hands being touched. Well, the same is true for any kind of genital stimulation. Some people might prefer a certain way over another way. And one of the very first episodes I did on this show 11 years ago was I interviewed a group of people who did something or that was called orgasmic meditation. And they have a method on, it's like 15 minutes, and you have a method on how to simulate. And that method was, a lot of it was created and developed under because of the orgasm gap. So it was how to actually bring orgasm to women. And it was learning how to stroke. And if you see anything on that group, there has been a lot of information out there that later came out that they may have been slightly cult related, but I can't say that for sure. The people who were in that, there were some people who said they were, so there were some people who said they weren't. So it's a mixed bag. But I think essentially what they wanted to bring educationally to the world was that we need to somehow bring orgasm to women. And how do we do that? So they came up with a method, the 15-minute stroke method. And I mean, it's great. There's also the need for more conversation and more direction. And I think being able to work with consent under that is great too. Under certain things where, like, you learn a method, there isn't always necessarily consent going on. So it's like, oh, this is the method, I will do the method for you. And there's still consent required. So it might, you can take a lot of things and you could kind of meld them together and you could create some really good ways to approach things. And it's always going to come down to that big C word of communication, which is to get consent and to get more information and to get insight into your partner and what their desire is. Desires are, let's say, plural. So one of the reasons why we still have this gap, why so few women are having orgasms compared to men, is there's probably a lot of conditioning, right? We've been told that sex shouldn't matter to women. If women, and there still is slut shaming going on. So if you're somebody who enjoys sex and enjoys pleasure, there's something definitely wrong with you. You're weird. You're a weirdo. No, I've been told that many times that I'm a weirdo. That's fine. If you knew what the word weird meant, you'd be like, darn, I wish I was weird too. So when we look at why this persists is because there's a lot of conditioning going on, whether it's from religions, whether it's from what we've been told culturally. I think it's cross-cultural, really, that women aren't supposed to truly enjoy sex, because if they do, then that makes them slutty and it's awkward, or they're it's like it devalues the woman to actually enjoy sex because sex is incredibly male-centered. So we can turn that around, right? We can switch that up. So my question to you before we go to break is, do you prioritize your orgasm and orgasms? And if you do, how often do you prioritize your orgasms? So is it only like once a year, or has it been like once in your life? And how often do you actually choose to have not just an orgasm, but have the entire package of what you desire? Like, how often do you realize that you are allowed to ask for what you desire? Have you ever asked for what you desire? Go contemplate that. We're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are talking all about the orgasm gap and why it exists, because it really, like, why does it exist and how long has it existed for? I bet you it's existed for thousands of years, probably since the time of when, as soon as religion became male-centered and we went away from more earth-based religious, well, wouldn't have been religion at the time. Well, it could have been more like goddess-centered religions. So goddess-centered religions would have had a focus on things that would have been about life and life-giving and the earth, and also all things with like the yoni. If you're not sure what the yoni is, that's what the, you know, the other name for like the vulva and the whole package, the vulva, the clitoris, and also the vagina. So that includes all of it, all the anatomy, right? So when we look at why this has happened for so long, the question to me is really comes down to is how do you control people and how do you control their thoughts? Well, one of the control their thoughts about themselves. So one of the things that if you can control somebody's pleasure and the joy they're having in life by, you know, making everything that they enjoy wrong or bad, then they will be depressed. And it's like the making of us slaves, right? Like you got to make sure you demean people, you make them wrong, then you then you do a whole bunch of other acts that would dehumanize them. And that is essentially what's been happening for women forever. So I know I'm probably going to get some people really mad at me for using that comparison, and that's okay. There is a gap, and that gap about pleasure, I think this is not something I read in a book, but the gap about pleasure to me has to do with when I look at why would you stop somebody from having pleasure? And the only reason that I could come up with is that you would stop them from having pleasure because you want them to be miserable so that you can be in control. And if you're in control, then you can decide whether their pleasure is acceptable or not, whether it's wrong or bad or awful. I don't know, my Bible thumping friends out there, is there any mention of female orgasm in the Bible? Like, I was in high school, we read the Bible in religion class. We went through pretty much all of the Bible between grade 9 through grade 11 in Catholic school, but I didn't memorize it. So I'm just wondering, do any of you know if female orgasm is ever mentioned in the Bible, or is it even allowed? Does it exist? Is it mentioned in other religious texts? I'm pretty sure that it is mentioned in the Vedas, but I'm not sure if it's mentioned in other texts. I'm curious for those of you who know, who actually have a background knowledge in any kind of religions across the entire spectrum of religion, what do you know? Is it mentioned? Is it something that's sacred? Is it something that's never mentioned? Is it something that's not allowed? I'm just totally curious what the world has to say about that from a religious perspective. I'm not a theologian, so I can't really say what that is. I've briefly read several different religious texts, but I'm definitely not an expert in that area, so I'm just curious. So when we look at the gap, so much of the gap, I love it. I just got information from my friend who's producing tonight. And it says that the Bible does not explicitly mention the female orgasm in modern scientific or sexual terms. However, there are passages, particularly in the Song of Solomon, also called Song of Songs, that celebrate mutual sexual pleasure, desire, and physical intimacy between lovers in poetic and metaphorical language. Some scholars and readers interpret these passages as alluding to female sexual pleasure, including orgasm, though not in a direct or clinical way. Well, I like that. So women are allowed to have pleasure. Fantastic. So why has it been so ignored? If it's only in one verse, then, or one song of songs, this one poem, then why? That could be why it's so highly ignored. Also, it's so mysterious. That female orgasm is so mysterious. That vulva is one confusing, muddle of nerves, right? The clitoris with its 8,000 nerve endings, where do you even start? So I think what we need to do is take back and start to re-own and like if re-own our pleasure. So if you do listen to this show, you probably have heard me reference certain books in the past, and a really, really great one is called Pussy, a Reclamation, and Mama Gina, Regina Thomas Hauer, amazing author, amazing book, amazing workshops that she does. And she really is all about reclaiming the vulva and reclaiming pleasure. And I love that. So with this information out there, with researchers out there who have been, doing scientific studies since the 1950s, like Kinsey and Masters and Johnson, I think Kinsey started after Masters and Johnson, but we'll look at both of them, right, as major contributors to sexual research. They studied the, well, Masters and Johnson started to study the female orgasm because it was brought to Masters' attention that he didn't realize that women faked orgasm. So he ended up studying that to figure that out. And he got a partner, Johnson, who ended up helping with that. So there you go. And they ended up being masters and masters in the end. So that's a long story. There's a great, if you want to see their story, there's a great docudrama. It's not a documentary, but it's like a drama story, whatever series. And I think it was like, I don't know, maybe it was on Netflix or something, but it's a great one. So you can kind of see the development of how that became something of how female orgasm became something important to study. And it was also surprising that to them at the time that women enjoyed sex and chose to have it, and it wasn't just an obligation. So somewhere there were many places in the world where women were not only accepted as having pleasure and orgasms, but then we have colonialism come in and just kind of bring through a whole bunch of British values to the whole world, where other places in the world were acknowledging pleasure and it was fine. And then colonization actually has a huge impact on pleasure. I'm actually considering having some people come on and talk about if they'll come on and talk about the decolonization of relationships, as in that they're polyamorous polycule, and they talk about how monogamy is quite a form of colonization, which is fascinating. They're a fascinating group. You can follow them on Instagram. So they are, I think they're called Decolonizing Love. Anyway, you can check them out. They always have great insights and info on how we ended up with the situations we're in today in relationships. So it's pretty fascinating stuff. So how did we end up with that gap is that we've been trained into it for a very, very long time. And we've also been told for a really long time that certain things like clitoral orgasms are inferior to vaginal orgasms. We were told that for a really long time until we realized that the truth of it is all orgasms are in the brain. They all start in the brain. And yes, the stimulation might start on different parts. Like the stimulation might start in the clitoris, but that signal goes to the brain, goes to those pleasure centers in the brain, and that interacts with your nervous system. So it's actually a nervous system reaction. And then your body will react beyond that, right? With muscle contractions and blood flow and all these other systems of your body kick in, and hormones start to kick in as well. So it involves a lot of systems, but the initial stimulation would be what gets your brain going. So in, having an orgasm by clitoral stimulation or even nipple stimulation, because you can, if you really explore and let your body become fully orgasmic, you can pretty much touch any part and your body can be orgasmic from that, from having the lover that listens and having that communication. It doesn't always have to be what is, the textbook rub this way, do this, for 15 minutes. Like, those are methods. They can work, but also talking, communication, and consent with touch can be incredibly pleasurable and be a massive factor in how and why women aren't having orgasms and how you can start to have them. There's another illusion that women are harder to please too, and that's just not true. It's that what's happening is that a lot of women are not feeling like they have a right to say what they would like, or when they do say what they would like, that they don't necessarily feel heard. Or that's another thing that I hear a lot of, is like that women will say, well, I said what I wanted and then he tried and I didn't like it. I'm like, okay, did you give any further information? Did you show? Did you do like show and tell? Did you give? And usually no, like the first sign of it not working, women will often like go, oh, forget it. I'll either walk away and like, let's not even bother, or they'll just put up with it because they don't feel like they have a right to ask for what they desire. If you're in a relationship where that's going on, I really encourage you to go check out the book, The Wheel of Consent. They also have workshops for the Wheel of Consent for touch workshops. And there's a lot of workshops related to touch that you can go and check out. They're incredibly helpful in being able to learn what you do like, how to ask for what you like, how to ask your partner for what you would like to do with them. Like, may I, you know, for example, like, may I, you know, suck the big C? Like, may I do that right now? So, and they're like, oh yeah, sure, cool. Like, thank you for asking, and thank you for asking, may I please? Because that's a really nice thing to ask. There's also a really big misunderstanding that penetration is supposed to be the way to go, and that penetration, and that there's like method to the penetration, like you should count a rhythmic count in a certain way. No, everybody is different. Everybody's different. So ask your partner, you know, may I do this? Are you enjoying this? Is there something you would like me to do that's different? And then stop and listen. What a concept. So we're going to start figuring out what's going on. Like, what is this gap? And why have we made this clitoral stimulation so wrong, when really it just has to do with your body could get stimulated anywhere. You could have pleasure derived from any part of your body. It's all technically in your brain anyway. So we just certainly have more nerve endings in a clitoris than we do in like a belly button. But that doesn't mean that your belly button, it's stimulated in a certain way, couldn't provide very similar responses. And you can also just have an orgasm with your mind and meditating. There's a woman who had her brain researched and she proved that. So, guys, we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're finding out all about the orgasm gap. So for those of you who are just jumping in now and you're like, what is the orgasm gap? The orgasm gap is the fact that there's been a lot of research done on that women significantly less of the time have orgasm compared to men. Now, that gap is closing over the last few decades as conversations are increasing. There still is a lot of shame around asking for what you want. So just know the gap is closing. And I hope in my lifetime that gap closes and that we're able to all have pleasure. And like, what a great, I know, what a strange target to have in this life, but that is a target. Is the more education we get, the more understanding we have, the more ability we have to communicate and ask for what we'd like. I'm hoping that that's going to help close the orgasm gap. One of the things is, I think I also find that I have people who say that they've never even given themselves an orgasm, so they don't even know what feels good to themselves. So I would start with self-exploration. Just what feels good? What and how are you touching yourself that just feels nice for the sake of feeling nice? Half of the time when I'm like doing this show, I'm like, my hand likes to just like stroke my leg. So you don't even see that in the background, but my hand's just like rubbing my leg because it feels nice, helps calm down my nervous system while I talk to you guys about like really taboo topics, so it helps and it feels good, right? So then if the there's a difference between what feels good and then what are you just doing for somebody else. So that would be like something that's called performative. Are you having performative touch for yourself even? Are you just doing what you think you're supposed to do? Meanwhile, you're like, I don't even really enjoy this, but I'm just doing what I think I should do. Performative touch when it comes to partner sex is, it can be really, it can actually create a lot of issues. So performative touch, if you go with, say the first few times having sex with somebody and they do something and you just go along with it and it's like, okay, that's fine, that's good enough, and you don't stop and show what you'd really like in that moment or have that communication in that moment, then what happens is you'll get the same sex repeatedly over and over again, and it becomes more like a performance rather than something that can be new and innovative every time, every day. And sometimes we get in ruts, guys, like that happens too. So when you get in the rut, and you're like, oh, we're doing this again, be the courageous one to start the conversation to say, you know what I'd like to try today is this, this, and this. How do you feel about that? Like, can we try maybe today? Can we try a little bum play or something? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there because there's lots of people who would be like super shy of asking for that. So, what can you ask for that you've actually been quite holding back on so that you can ask for the touch that you like and you can give feedback? And when you do really like something, give the feedback. Say, yeah, I really like that. Stay there. Like, can you, oh, yes, stay there. Or like, slow it down a little bit. Go a little softer, a little bit over here. Try it on this. Try this. Like, the chances are you're with a lover who wants to give you pleasure. If they don't and it's all about them, then it's time to find a new lover. If your lover is interested in pleasuring you, then not only will they be excited to for you to show them what you want or give them tips on how to please you, not only will they be excited for that, they'll be more excited that it's successful and they'll want to do more of it, right? So when you're feeling like, hey, there's a rut, then there's a rut in the communication as well, and it's a time for having conversation, and sometimes it's just time to get back into reconnecting with your body. So when it comes to a lot of sex these days, I think there's been a lot of miseducation through porn. And so a lot of times guys are thinking, oh, yeah, a woman should just be able to stroke her clit for 32 seconds and then she's dripping wet and now she's squirting and look at that, amazing. And he doesn't have to actually engage with her because most of these references are for heterosexual men who are trying to learn how to have sex with women because they're not familiar with the anatomy totally. So the education is not there. It's total miseducation and there's never communication. I've literally watched three porn videos in my whole life and at no point do I remember seeing and guys, if you do have porn that's highly educational as well as playful, please pass it over. Tell me where this stuff is because I haven't seen it. And if I could get resources to help people, that would be great. I have resources from my for my sex and intimacy coaching, but those are not what you would necessarily call pornography. Those are like educational videos, and they feel educational. So it's very different, and it's a very different vibe as well. And I think we need more of those educational videos out there to help people understand what they need to do, how to have those conversations, how to ask for things, how to please themselves, and then how to have the communication on asking their partner what they would like. It's really missing. So between like saying things, and I always like to remember that not everybody is verbal. Not everybody, some people communicate with their hands too. Some people don't do either. But what they can do is give you feedback in other ways. So knowing what cues are, nonverbal cues as well. So like somebody might be able to give you like a one wink for yes and two winks for no, because I don't know. I'm thinking that if I was maybe paralyzed or something, and I still wanted pleasure, that I'd be able to have the conversation or communicate some way to still have pleasure in my body, because I'm a big believer that sex can heal a lot of stuff. Sex is a powerful energy that we've been gifted to create life, but also pleasure. And so why not healing as well? So my thought is like you can give cues, nonverbal cues, as well as verbal cues to say what you desire. So whether that's repositioning people's hands, or whether that's giving a wink or a nod, which is agreed on probably in advance about what those things would mean, and going from there. Also doing things like having conscious touch where there's no agenda. So what I usually tell people too when they're having really frustrated times in their relationship, and this is actually a Masters and Johnson technique, is to take sex off the table. And I think other sex educators since then also promote that too, but it's actually a really good tool, is that when you're having problems in sex, take the actual sex off the table, the need to have orgasm off the table, and start doing exploratory touch that is not meant to have any agenda of like having sex at the end of it. It's just exploratory. It's just about giving and receiving. And you can, again, in the Wheel of Consent book, they really talk a lot about that. So, but being able to touch and communicate about whether you enjoy that touch is so important, and having no agenda. So taking all of that orgasm off the table, taking the this will end in sex off the table, it's surely just touch for the love of touch. It's such an important practice to have. Even when you have a lot of fun in your sex life, even if you're not going through a lull, have those days where you just have touch for the sake of touch with no agenda. It can be a really great way to build energy, and it's almost like having a little self-restraint can build the energy. So if you say, for example, had 2 days of no sex touch, and it's just buildup of just stimulating the body, your body will be so revved up, excited for the, it's like having core play for 2 days, or foreplay as most people know it, but core play for 2 days of, having your body turned on and connected and all that stuff. And then, where and it leads up to that, maybe there's an agreement of like, hey, yeah, we're spending this other day doing all these other things, and like make it like ex one of those especially fun days where maybe you have all the toys out and you have everything like set up where it's a beautiful scene, and you have it, and it can be planned and be planned in a beautiful way, because all that other foreplay was a little bit more spontaneous, and the touch was not geared to having to have an orgasm. So it leaves a lot of room for imagination, and it leaves the body to have room for imagination and a lot of stimulation and excitement. So then your body's already like quite grounded and in the receiving mode of your partner, which sometimes, if you've been going through stuff or you're stressed, your body's not necessarily in the receiving mode of your partner. So allowing that to to happen. That's when you go from just partner to lovers, right? Like you can be partners with a lot of people, and you can be lovers with a lot of people as well, but it's a very different energy to be somebody's partner or somebody's lover. And you want to move into that lover zone. So playing with different things and getting feedback from your partner about what's, which is now your lover, getting feedback from your lover about, you know, how things went, what did they like, what were some of the key takeaways that they really enjoyed. And yes, it seems like, oh my gosh, why are we talking all this time? We're talking to create intimacy. We're talking so that we can learn from each other. We can build on that. We can create new ideas. So yeah, actually having conversations, as much as you might be like, meh, are the top sexiest thing you can do. And I know you're probably all like, that doesn't sound sexy at all. Try it. Try it before you knock it. And so I'm curious, and then, you know, think about this while we go to commercial break, is what would it take for you to be able to ask and to speak and to communicate what your actual sexual needs and desires are and say them with total confidence? What would it take for that to happen? And what do you require? And then start to explore what those things are. So we're going to head to the next commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and I'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we are talking about the orgasm gap, which I feel, and I'm hopeful that that gap is closing so that we're not having 65% in heterosexual relationships, 65% of women having orgasm compared to 95% of men. I hope that in my lifetime, that gap closes where it's, you know, 95 to 95. I don't know that we're ever going to hit 100 because there are some things that could be long-term effects that would have somebody be not be able to have orgasm possibly. So, you know, whether there's physical damage to the body or whether there's like so much trauma that the person hasn't resolved. Not that you ever fully resolve it, but you definitely can manage it better. So, and I bring up trauma because that is and can be a massive factor in why women are having that orgasm gap as well. When you look at the stats on sexual abuse, it's more common to occur to women. So if that's the case, and we're looking at how that's happening more to women, then the chances are more women are also having all the trauma issues like nervous system related issues. Like I talked about, orgasms start in the brain, and that's part of the nervous system. So if you're in fight, flight, freeze, or you basically check out, then you are probably not going to be in your body enough to feel your body enough to be able to have pleasurable responses. So we need to get our bodies through all that trauma somehow, right? So there's a lot of different ways. And I'm a big fan of somatic body work as a part of the work that I do as a holistic health practitioner is that I do a type of somatic body work. Somatic means body, but somatic movement. People understand somatic body work for some reason, but it's actually somatic experiencing and somatic movement. I'm also a big fan of knowing consent-based touch and using consent-based touch therapies as well to help heal trauma. And I'm also a big fan of breath work. These are all things I've done. So these are all things that I'm a fan of as well. Also, I've done things like a lot of journaling in the past. I somehow got away from journaling for quite a while, but I'm a big fan of it to help process things and get it out of your head and onto paper. I think what happened was it was around when I started this show that I stopped physically journaling, and this became like my journal. So this podcast is a bit like my journal in a way, as I bring things up often from my own life experience to give examples, and like I end up working through them the week before the show and sometimes a few days after. So yeah. So one of the things too is to like work through any shame. So these are all things that can be like working through the trauma, working through the shame. All these things can be done with a professional. If that's something that you want to work with me through, absolutely connect with me through my website, melitayelenich.com. If you're getting this information and you're like, hey, I know somebody that does A, B, C, and D, or I want to try this workshop, go check it out. Definitely follow your intuition on that and go to where you feel is the most geared towards your recovery. So one of the questions around, one of the things too that comes up around not having orgasms is having shame, and shame can be like super toxic to pleasure. I've done entire shows about shame, so you can go back and listen to them. But one of the things to look at with shame is like, what do you remember the first thing you were ever told about pleasure, about your body and pleasure? Was it shameful messaging? Were you told like, that's, don't touch your body, that's wrong? Or, oh, you shouldn't do that, good girls don't do that. So what you want to do is you want to look at that and realize that those are all voices, somebody else's voices, somebody else's morals or mantras that they've been had in their head forever. And you can do different things to switch that, whether that's you know, EFT, so, you know, emotional freedom technique, tapping is part of that. If you, you know, there's so many different ways that you can NLP as well, different ways to switch your thought patterns up. And you can literally just also see where those things are. It's like, oh, I heard this thought in my head when I was little, oh, somebody said that was dirty and bad and don't do that, good girls don't do that. And then so then in your thought, every time that you're having or pleasuring yourself, you're like, I'm not a good girl. Then look at it too from the I love Byron Katie's approach with those four questions of, is it true? Is it true that I'm not a good girl? How do I know for certain that that's true? Without that thought, who would I be? How would I feel? And turn it around. So for example, with that, I'm not a good girl is, okay, is it true that I'm not a good girl? Well, I'm pretty convinced it's true. Well, without that thought, who would I be? How would I feel? Well, I might feel a lot better about myself. And then, or I flipped that. I went too far ahead there. So is it true? How do I know for certain it's true? Well, I have evidence that lots of people have said that I was naughty, bad, and weird. So without that thought, who would I be and how would I feel? I'd feel a lot better about myself. And then flip it again to, you flip it 180 degrees is like, if you are feeling naughty, it's like, then, and you still feel that, that's fine. As long as you're not judging it. I choose to love my naughty self. You could be that version, and, or you could be the version of, I choose to know the goodness in me. I choose to know that I am lovable. I know that I am lovable, and I choose to know that about me. There's different ways you can flip it around. So lots of great work out there that can help flip that, all of that stuff. And if you've been enjoying the show, please go give it a 5-star review on iTunes. I'd love that. And if you can comment on anywhere that there's commenting, I would love that too. Super appreciate it. Like and follow wherever you can. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Stay tuned until next week and turned on.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body. Your body.